وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah, we seek His assistance, and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wounds that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the fire. Before we begin our topic, I just wanted to make a few points, inshallah ta'ala. The first of which is that I don't want to oppose anyone in my own personal opinion. Referring to the sisters in particular, and then the brothers in general, and that is that I don't prefer to be transmitted by way of the videotape. Even if it's a live transmission, not that I'm going against the ulama or that I want to oppose the people, but I just prefer for myself to let my voice be heard for the sisters, and we hope that this is sufficient, and not that we're out to be against or to oppose anyone. But this is my personal opinion, and I hope that the people are patient with me. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which is more correct. The other point is that I wanted to make, that my personal position is that I love to work with the Muslims on al-birri wa taqwa, and that we love to work with the Muslims in trying to spread what we know to be correct from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah on the understanding of our Salaf al-Salih. This is our methodology, and this is our program, and this is the way that we like to work with the people, inshallah ta'ala. However, I think that it's important that I must state today that I'm aware, unfortunately, of some of the fitan that's been taking place here in the UK. And I'm unaware, or I was unaware of until just a couple of hours ago, of that which was established by Salim al-Hilali and Ali Hassan al-Halabi about not working with the Jam'iyyah here for this conference or to work with them in general. And that when I made my decision to participate in this conference, that I made it without taking what was said into consideration. And I wanted to make that point clear, that I made my decision without taking that into consideration. And that if I was aware of that, that I think that my position would have been differently. And that is that I like to take advantage of the platforms to call to the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, but I don't like to take advantage of platforms if it's going to be an issue of name calling or division of the Muslims or adding to any fitna that has already been established. So this isn't my intent. I was unaware of it, and if I was aware, I would have not chose to jump into fitna where the Muslims are dividing themselves over whatever they're dividing themselves over, not taking a position on who is right or who is wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and we ask Allah to unite our hearts on the truth. With that, inshallah, I want to present the topic of at-tawakkul and that which was mentioned about this issue. And firstly, as we like to begin with the statements of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala around this issue, as our deen is based on the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he tells us in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 159, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لَنْتَ لَهُمْ وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله إن الله يحب المتوكلين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in this ayah, if it wasn't for the mercy of Allah, then you would have not been gentle with them. And if you were harsh and hard-hearted, they would have left you. So pardon them and forgive them and have consultation with them. And then if you decide on an affair, rely on Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who rely on Him, or those who depend on Him, or those who put their trust in Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who are pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they submit to the wisdom that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in deciding what He decides for His creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, He praises those who rely on Him and showing the importance of the tawakkul and showing that this was the position of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there are so many ayah in the Quran around this issue of at-tawakkul, and we just want to mention some of them inshallah ta'ala in order to understand the importance of reliance upon Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 81, and this is also the same ayah from Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 3, where Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, rely on Allah, or depend on Allah, or have trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah is sufficient as a wakil. He's sufficient as the one who guards you, and as the one that you rely upon, tabarak wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 129, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَهُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, He tells us in this ayah, and if they turn away, meaning if they turn away from that which was brought by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the guidance of the Quran and His Sunnah, if they turn away, then say, حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ. Allah is sufficient for me. No God has the right to be worshipped other than Him. On Him do I rely. On Him do I depend. On Him do I put my trust in. And He is the Lord of the magnificent throne. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to the issue of at-tawakkul with His statement in Surah Al-Ahzab, verse number 48, وَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَالْمُنَافِقِينَ وَدَعْ أَذَاهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, and don't obey the kafirun and the munafiqun, the disbelievers and the hypocrites from amongst the Muslims, those who express Islam on their tongues and disbelieve in Islam in their hearts. Do not obey them and turn away from their punishment to you or the harm that they give you, and rely on Allah, and Allah is sufficient as a wakil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 10, وَمَا اخْتَلَفْتُمْ فِيهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَحُكْمُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ ذَلِكُمُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that whatever you differ in, or if you differ in something, then the verdict is with Allah. that is your Lord Allah. On him do I rely, and to him do I repent. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah An-Naml, verse number 79, فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّكَ عَلَى الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and I command you to rely on Allah. Indeed, you are on the true path, or the clear truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat calls us to the issue of reliance upon Allah, or depending on Allah, or putting our trust in Allah. And we saw how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had dealt with this issue in the different ayat, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls us straight to reliance upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls us to rely on Him when the people turn away from this truth, and that we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us that when we find difficulty or harm by way of the kafirun or the munafiqun, that we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He's sufficient for us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us that in those affairs that the people differ in, that the verdict is the verdict of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we trust in Allah and we rely on Allah, and that we are satisfied with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He brings the truth in the affairs that the people differ in. And then lastly, we wanted to point out this point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us to rely on Allah because indeed you are on the clear truth. And sometimes as we are residing in the lands of the disbelievers, and kufr and shirk is all around us, at times it is weakening to our hearts, or it makes us a little difficult or uncomfortable with our Islam sometimes. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to rely on Allah, that you are on the clear truth. So don't be affected by the kufr or the disbelief or the evil ways of those who have not accepted Islam. Rely on Allah and depend on Allah, and Allah is sufficient for you, and you are on the clear way. This issue of a tawakkul, or reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the way of the prophets of Allah and His messengers. And we see this in many ayat in the Quran, and we want to take the example as we begin with the example of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, that He says, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي وَرَزَقَنِي مِنْهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت وما توفيقي إلا بالله عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He said, referring to Shu'ayb, O my people, do you see if I was on clarity from my Lord, and that He had provided me with the good provisions, and that I don't want to oppose you in that which I prohibit you. I only want that which is better as much as I have the ability to do so, and my success is only with Allah. On Him do I rely, and on Him and to Him do I repent. And this is from Surah Al-Hud, verse number 88, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the example of one of His prophets and messengers, Shu'ayb, that the way of the prophets and messengers of Allah is to rely on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to deal with what they have to deal with, and then to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah says about Musa in Surah Yunus, verses 84-86, where Allah says, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنْتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لا تجعلنا فتنة للقوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من القوم الكافرين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Musa said, O my people, if you believe in Allah, then I command you to rely on Allah if you are Muslims. And they said, we rely on Allah our Lord, so don't make us a fitna for the oppressive people, and save us by your mercy from the disbelieving people. So here Musa, he called his people to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to depend on Allah, and to put their trust and their faith in Allah. And this is the ways, and this is the way of the prophets and messengers, as we see in this example, that it's the way of our father, the prophet Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and our last prophet and messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah Ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we see on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, qal, حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل قالها إبراهيم صلى الله عليه وسلم حين ألقي في النار وقال محمد قالها محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم حين قال له الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم. And this is collected authentically by Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله. وعبدالله بن عباس رضي الله عنه, he said, حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. Allah is sufficient for us and the best guardian and protector. Ibrahim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this when he was thrown into the fire. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said this when the people said, indeed the people have gathered for you. Meaning the enemies had gathered together to fight the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers. And the statement was, Allah is sufficient for us and He is the best guardian and protector. This is the way of the believers, the way of the prophets and the messengers, to rely and to depend and to put their trust and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And when we discuss this issue of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to understand that there's no opposition with the issue of reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the issue of working or taking the necessary means that we need to accomplish those things that we like to accomplish. As Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimahullah, he says that the Muslims have agreed that reliance on Allah or depending on Allah or putting our trust in Allah or tawakkul, that there's no opposition between this and taking the necessary reasons to do what we have to do. Rather, there is no real reliance except that we take the necessary means to do what we have to do. And whoever does not do this, then he is invalidating his at-tawakkul or reliance upon Allah. And this is an incorrect understanding of at-tawakkul or reliance and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What the Shaykh is explaining is that don't misunderstand reliance upon Allah, meaning that we should be lazy or that we shouldn't do any work. That we sit down and wait and depend upon Allah and that whatever Allah decides will be and we don't do any work. But that we work in obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and then we rely on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As Ibn Rajab, he says, and I want you to know that the real issue of reliance or tawakkul or dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it does not negate the fact of working hard and taking the necessary means to do that which has been decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already. And that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to take place in His creation. Because indeed Allah ta'ala has commanded us to take the necessary means, and then He has commanded along with that to rely and to depend and to put our trust and faith in our Lord. So there's no conflict between the two issues of reliance upon Allah and by working and striving hard to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us. Rather, the working and taking the necessary means to do what we have to do is obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then we have been commanded to rely on Allah, and this is our belief and our heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ibn Qudama, he says that to leave off the working or striving for what we strive for in this world, then this is not a tawakkul or reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, this is the way of the lazy. Those who are pleased with recreation and play and entertainment and wasting of time, those people who have negated the real meaning of at-tawakkul. So we see from these statements of the ulama that our reliance and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and putting our trust and our faith in our Lord, there's no conflict between this and the issue of working hard and striving to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to accomplish what we want to accomplish in this world. As Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, explaining this point, لَوْ أَنَّكُمْ تَوَكَّلُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ حَقَّ تَوَكُّلِهِ لَرَزَقَكُمْ كَمَا يَرْزُقُكُمْ كما يرزق الطير تغدو خماصا وتروح بطانا. And this is authentically collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, where Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he says, if you were to really rely on Allah, like you should rely on Allah, then Allah would have provided for you, just as He provides for a bird. It leaves in the morning with an empty stomach, and it returns later on in the evening with a full stomach. So we see from this statement, and the statements of the ulama, that the issue of reliance upon Allah and depending on Allah and putting our trust and our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we see that there are deeds and actions that go along with this reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, we see that the action and the work and the striving and the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is before the actual reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that we work for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, and then we rely and depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and put our trust in Him, and then we're patient as we wait for that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed to take place. As Allah tells us in Surah Al-Ankabut, verses 58 and 59, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ غرفا تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها نعم أجر العاملين الذين صبروا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believe and work righteous deeds, we will give them high stations in paradise, in Jannah, gardens underneath which rivers flow, abiding therein forever, the best reward for those who do work. Those who are patient and then they rely on their Lord. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat is explaining to us that we work, that we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we work our righteous deeds, and then we rely and depend and put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we're patient for whatever Allah has decreed to take place. And we see this also in the example of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that after we have done the work and we relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we're patient for the outcome or the results, as that's not in our hands, it's in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, يُسْتَجَابُ لِأَحَدِكُمْ مَا لَمْ يَعْجَلْ يَقُولُ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. And this is authentically collected by Imam Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, the dua of one of you will be answered so long as he is in hasty. He says, I made my dua and it wasn't answered. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam is teaching us here in this hadith, if we reflect on its meaning, that we are to do what we have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. And then we rely and we depend and we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we're patient for whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees to take place. And not that we're hasty in thinking that our actions and our reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is definitely going to bring about a certain consequence or results. Rather, we believe and we work righteous deeds and we rely on Allah, and then we're patient with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided for us. This is what we wanted to present around this issue of tawakkul today, and that is that it is mentioned in many ayat in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, showing the importance of this issue of a tawakkul or reliance or dependence or putting our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that this is the way of the prophets and the messengers who have come before us, of putting their trust and depending and relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's important for us to rely on Allah, and Allah is sufficient for us as a wakil. And we wanted to say that this reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't negate the fact that we have been commanded to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to strive for what we want to accomplish in this world and the reward that we want in the hereafter. And there's no opposition between these two points. But that we work hard and what we have been commanded, and then we rely and put our trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we're patient with whatever results that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees for us. And that we're not hasty and thinking that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should make the result of what we have worked for and what we have relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and depended on Him in those affairs, that we're not hasty in wanting the decision to be the way that we want it to be, but that we're patient with the decision that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for us. This is what we wanted to present, and we wanted to present this topic in light of the circumstances of the community life of the Muslims, and that is that in establishing and in building communities, especially in the West, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that we're going to have to understand this issue of at-tawakkul, and to rely and to depend and to put our trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by working hard to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do in His book or on the tongue or the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And then we're going to rely to put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we have done what we have been commanded to do. And then we're going to be patient and satisfied with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the results that we see after working and striving in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're not going to be impatient and hasty and thinking that because we have worked to the level that we have worked, that it is compulsory upon Allah to make the situation go the way that we like, but that we're going to be satisfied and happy with the decision and the decree of our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what I wanted to present today in order to be an encouragement for us to work harder for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to put more trust and faith and dependence upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be patient with what Allah has decreed for us. And we ask Allah to decree for us that which is best for us and our individual lives and as communities. And Allah knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
JazakAllah khair, Sheikh, for the enlightening talk. Any questions, please can we keep them really onto the subject, inshallah, and pass them forward when you've written them on your piece of paper. JazakAllah khair.
Question that was on the topic, inshallah, until you come to it. There was a question on the topic that had come up yesterday, I think it was, or earlier, and that is a question that comes quite often around this issue of a tawakkul, knowing that it is around this issue or not. And this is the question that we have been working hard and striving hard to establish the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't see any results. Now what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tells us, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. When you get finished, continue working on and know that your goal is to your Lord. This issue of working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't stop. And it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed any one of us results. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted us with is the actions. And then the result is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the example that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives with the statement, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Indeed, you don't guide who you love, but Allah guides whoever He wills. It's just upon us to do the work, and then the rest is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're working for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for the results. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Because if we were working for the results, more than likely we would have been destroyed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And that is that you could imagine that every time you called someone to Islam, and Islam is the truth, that when they didn't accept it, you'll be punished. Because they didn't accept Islam. and you were a failure, for lack of better words, in trying to accomplish what you were out to accomplish by making such and such a Muslim. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives us the story of Nuh to make us really understand that Nuh alayhi salam, he had come with revelation from his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was on the character of the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we know that there was no flaws in the message that he brought, and we know that his character was a good character. Why didn't anyone believe in him while he was calling them to the truth for 950 years? Because it isn't the person who calls to the truth, or it isn't on the person who does the actual work to be responsible for the results. This is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just upon the people to do the work. And if they do the work sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then their reward is with Allah. And this is what we're working for. To be sincere, to do what we do sincerely for the sake of Allah, in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, desiring the reward that Allah has prepared for those who work in His cause. We're not working for the results. We're working for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what we should be concerned with is that what we do is sincerely and solely for the sake of Allah, in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and Allah knows best.
There's a question here, Sheikh. Please clarify, I heard you say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Prophet Ibrahim's name. Is this not only for Prophet Muhammad? Peace upon him.
The narration of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu in al-Bukhari, it says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after Ibrahim, Khalilullah ibn Azar sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after we mentioned his name, just as those who have come before us had said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they mentioned the name of Ibrahim, just as we say after our Prophet and Messenger Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and Allah knows best.
Okay, the other question is it proper for a Muslim to seek refuge from the help of the disbelievers against a fellow Muslim in the light of the reliance of Allah? And he's given an example of the Gulf War, for example.
Can you read that again, please?
Is it proper for a Muslim to seek the help of the disbelievers against a fellow Muslim in the light of the reliance upon Allah? And he's given an example of the Gulf War.
The issue of the Gulf War, that was an issue that was dealt with by the ulama of al-Islam. And I prefer that it's left at that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Is this obedience to Allah, working 70 hours a week with the kuffar and being unable to do what Allah has commanded and being stuck in the dunya?
Seems like the answer to the question was stated in the question itself. The person seems to, by saying that they work 70 hours a week, that they're not fulfilling their responsibilities to their Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is this disobedience to Allah, not fulfilling the responsibility? Yes, just as the person mentioned. And that if we had believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we ought to believe in, then we would put nothing above the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That al-Islam comes first, and then everything comes after that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. What we should understand is the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah hasn't burdened the soul beyond its capability. And that when Allah commanded us to establish the five salat a day in the masjid, that there's no burden on the people in establishing this. And the other things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in His Quran, on the tongue or by the actions of His Prophet and Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that none of this is a burden upon the people. Rather, we have burdened ourselves by disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the way to go clearly astray. And we ask Allah to help us to be guided.
Okay, apparently there is a Muslim couple who are undergoing fertility treatment in hospital. To what extent can they go, and to what, and how much does this violate the tawakkul?
Can you say that one more time?
There is a Muslim couple who are undergoing fertility treatment in a hospital. To what extent can they go to doing this, and does this violate tawakkul?
No. We were trying to explain, and the explanation was brief, in the talk, that there's no conflict or opposition between doing what is necessary and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person gets a headache and they take a Tylenol or whatever aspirin they take for their headache, it doesn't mean that their headache's going to go away. As the results are in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us to take the necessary means to try to achieve the results that we like. And that is, the person who has a headache, he wants to do what's necessary to relieve himself of his headache, and then he relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards. So there's no conflict or opposition between this. You do what you have been commanded to do, and then you rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no conflict or opposition between the two, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
How important is it for the Muslims of the university age? Obviously, he means here that it's easily accessible for us to all go to university now. How is it important that they make use of their academic studies in terms of building up a future for the Muslim community in the UK?
The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in a hadith collected in the Sahih al-Jami al-Saghir of Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إن الله تعالى يبغض كل عالم بالدنيا جاهل بالآخرة. Where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, indeed Allah ta'ala hates everyone who is knowledgeable of these worldly affairs, ignorant of the affairs of the hereafter. If we reflect on this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see that it's very important on the believers to firstly gain an understanding of this deen and to learn how to believe and to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He ought to be believed in and as He ought to be worshipped. And then after that, to strive for whatever we like to strive of for the affairs of this world. However, I like to say that it doesn't seem that the Muslims are lacking in any expertise. Engineering, computers, science, or whatever. We seem, wallahi alhamd, to have the brightest people on the planet. That doesn't seem to be our problem. Our problem seems to be using our talent for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I don't know what goes on here in the UK, but in the States, the large corporations are flooded and filled with Muslims working very hard to make the disbelieving corporations the biggest corporations in the world and the most wealthiest in the world. Rather, we were in the airport and we were talking about our area, our city in particular, that the head surgeons and doctors of the hospitals in our areas are all Muslims. But where is the Muslims hospital? The same thing with the big company that many of you have heard about, maybe AT&T, that they have so many Muslims in leadership positions there, but where is the Muslims company? I think that our problem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is to use our talent for Islam. Otherwise, the talent seems to be there already. The issue is using it for Islam. So whether you go to college or you don't go to college, or whatever skill you acquire or don't acquire, the issue is what will you do with what you have? Will you use it to benefit Islam or not? And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
Are car, house, life insurance permissible, acceptable for Muslims in this day and age, or is again this a violation of trusting upon Allah?
We asked the same question to the ulama and they said that it is not permissible and Allah knows best.
Really hard for 10 years, so has patience, and a person relies on Allah. How far does patience go if the person hasn't achieved what he wanted to achieve? Why does Allah want us to rely on Him? That's the second question. Why does Allah want us to rely on Him?
Feel a little uncomfortable with this question. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And his Quran,
he commands us
and he prohibits us. And we believe in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same thing with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he commands us and he prohibits us. Sometimes the reasoning of why is mentioned, and other times the reasoning behind or the why is not mentioned, and it's upon the believers to believe in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and to do what they have been commanded and to stay away from what they have been prohibited, as I think was covered in the issue before this around the word taqwa, of obedience to Allah, or doing what Allah has commanded and staying away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. We've read the ayat that Allah has commanded us to rely on Him, and we must rely on Him. Just as His prophets and messengers who came to the people, alayhimu salatu wassalam, to accept the example by relying on Allah, follow this example and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 10 years, 20 years, Nuh alayhi salam worked for 950 years. How do you compare your 10 years to that? And they say none believed except a few. And some of the narrations might say 8 or 80 or what have you. But 950 years with perfect guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would have imagined that everyone believed. And even in his own household was disbelievers. So it's not about how many years you have worked, but that you continue working until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hopefully pleasing Him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to take our souls except that we're doing what is pleasing to Him.
When you're working hard and you forget Allah because your mind strays away from the remembrance of Allah, what can we do to improve our minds and remembrance of Allah?
Can you read that one more time?
When you're working hard, obviously means at work, and you forget Allah because your mind strays from the remembrance of Allah, what can you do to improve your mind and improve your and to increase your remembrance of Allah?
Seems like everything in Islam calls us to remember Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we can start with the reading of the Quran. And there are so many ayah in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا, and remember Allah often. And the salah are 5 times a day in the different times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has showed us. It seems like it's impossible to go throughout the day without remembering Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, because the salat is throughout the day. And we have so many encouragements as we read the ayat that encourages us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which translates to keep our tongues wet with the remembrance of Allah, and the encouragement to make the dhikr when we wake up, after we make a wudu, before we make a wudu, after we make a wudu, entering the bathroom, leaving the bathroom, before we eat, after we eat, and on throughout our day. There seems like if we practice Islam, it's impossible not to remember Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems like just to understand what Islam is and to practice it will help us to remember Allah more often. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
As a taxi driver, is it permissible to take, i.e. take the fare of the Muslim brothers, maybe who are doing zina, who are committing sins, for instance, going to casinos, clubs, etc.?
I don't know, Allah knows best.
At this time, must we belong to a jama'ah or a group or an Islamic organization with the Muslims in such small numbers?
Can you repeat that?
Yeah. At this time, is it permissible, or should we belong to a group or an Islamic organization?
Wa Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam and the long hadith of Al-Hudhayfa had spoke about the time when there will be no Khalifa for the Muslims, and the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and that hadith, he commanded us, فَاعْتَزِلْ تِلْكَ الْفِرَقَ كُلَّهَا, to stay away from all of those groups. And those are the groups, as the ulama explain, that are not in adherence to the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the way of our Salaf al-Salih. So to be in those groups, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us to be with those groups. Rather, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the Quran has prohibited us to be with those groups, or to break ourselves up into groups, as he says subhanahu wa ta'ala, ولا تكونوا من المشركين من الذين فرقوا دينهم وكانوا شيعا كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون. As Allah says, don't be like the disbelievers, the mushrikun, those who have divided their religion up into groups or sects, each group happily rejoicing in its own program. It's necessary for us to work with each other to practice and establish Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
What advice?
I know that the right of a Muslim over a Muslim is that when he's asked for advice to give it. And it's my right to give the person the advice. But sometimes we don't have what we feel to be good advice for the person because we don't feel that we have enough knowledge to advise the person in any particular area that he might be asking, and we will be left with no help. Maybe if the person had asked me for some advice, and other than this issue, I might be able to help him, as I don't feel that I'm competent to advise him in this area. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best and may overlook my shortcomings.
Please explain, Sheikh, how Allah's religion spread almost all over the world. Was it only by dawah or jihad as well?
Was it only by? The questioner exaggerated when he said Sheikh. I'm only his brother in Islam. And we love the shuyukh and we try to benefit from the shuyukh, and I'm not from amongst them, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one day raises me to that level. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he tells us in the Quran, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون. He is the one who sent his messenger with the deen of al-haq, with the religion of truth, so that it may prevail over all other religions, even if the mushrikun hate it. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made his deen prevail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We don't want to get into the argument of was it by dawah or jihad. Everything is by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He has commanded us to give the da'wah, and He has commanded us to fight jihad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
Should I still give charity from my money if I have a student loan and an overdraft as well? Can I still give charity, or should I pay off the student loan and the debts before I give charity?
I don't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if the person should give charity first or pay off his loan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He should do what's best.
If a person got a job in which he did not realize that the job involved riba or interest, should he leave the job after finding out that interest is involved?
And another question, I think he needs to be a little more detailed in his question so that we can understand his exact circumstances. And then we might be better able to answer his question. But in general, if a person engages in something and he is unaware that that thing is haram, after he finds out, he should leave the haram and go back to the halal so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him and not punish him for continuing in that which is wrong.
What are the rights of the daughter-in-law living with her in-laws, and how can she avoid their influence on her children if they are not practicing the religion of Islam, and she wants her children to be brought up in an Islamic environment?
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah, one more time. What are the rights of the daughter-in-law living with her in-laws? How can she avoid their influence on her children if they are not practicing, if she wants her children to be brought up in an Islamic environment?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu hu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara, to the end of this ayah. O you who believe, I command you to save yourselves and your families from a fire. To the end of that ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, as the ulama of tafsir explain, that it is the responsibility of the Muslim man to save his wife or wives and his children from the fire whose fuel is men and stones by teaching them Islam, setting the example for them by practicing Islam, and putting them in an environment that's conducive for them to practice Islam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It seems that the responsibility falls on the husband to save his family, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Can a husband force you to wear the niqab? Please make it clear with regard to women covering also their feet, as you see many sisters who wear the niqab but do not cover their feet. Is it compulsory to cover the feet? Please make this clear.
Does a man have the right to force his wife to wear the niqab? I don't know. Allah knows best. The women have been commanded to be obedient to their husbands, and they should be. As far as the women uncovering their feet are part of the awrah, and it's not permissible for the women to uncover their feet when they leave their homes or when they're in the presence of men who are not mahram to them, and Allah knows best. That's for Jamal.
Please can you define what is the correct behavior towards non-Muslims, i.e. Jewish people, atheists, etc. I think there is too much negativity towards them and not enough dawah. Please can you clarify this?
Can you say that one more time?
Please can you define what is the correct behavior towards non-Muslims, i.e. Jews and atheists. I think there is too much negativity towards them and not enough dawah. Please can you clarify this?
I want to clarify, and it's escaping me the ayah. If somebody can give me a Quran, inshallah, I can maybe handle that question. Do you have does anybody have an Arabic Quran? Jazakallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in these ayah that are important for us to understand. It's important for us to understand all of the ayah, the Quran, and this is from Surah Al-Mumtahina, where Allah says, لَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ لَمْ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَمْ يُخْرِجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ أَنْ تَبَرُّوهُمْ وَتُقْسِطُوا إِلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ إِنَّمَا يَنْهَاكُمُ اللَّهُ عَنِ الَّذِينَ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَخْرَجُوكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ وَظَاهَرُوا عَلَى إِخْرَاجِكُمْ أَنْ تَوَلَّوْهُمْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat set for us our relationship with the disbelieving people. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Allah has not prohibited you to do good to and to be just with those who have not fought you for the sake of your deen, nor have they tried to remove you from your land. Indeed, Allah loves those who are just. Allah has only prohibited you for those, Allah has only prohibited you to befriend those who fight you for the sake of your deen and have forced you out of your lands and have tried to conquer you, and whoever befriends them, then they are the oppressors, or as Allah intends from these ayat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayat, if we reflect on it, the issue is if those people are openly and aggressive against Islam, then those people we're not going to befriend. But if the people are not against Islam and not trying to be against the Muslims, then there's no harm in being kind to them, meaning calling them to this deen of al-Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The being kind is when we call them to Islam, and the harshness is when they don't want to accept Islam, or when they show aggression or opposition to the Muslims and Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I think that everything is for its place. To be harsh with them when the time calls for it, and to be easy and gentle when the time calls for it. And every person has to see for himself which time is more appropriate to either be harsh or easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us.
A group of brothers have grouped together against me, and as a result I've been dismissed from my job. Is this a shun against my honor and reputation, against my reputation, and I feel this must be publicly removed if I'm to be able to uphold my reputation and dignity? Am I justified to take the brothers to an industrial tribunal in order to have my name cleared? Would this be compatible with reliance upon Allah?
I don't know, Allah knows best.
The short question, is it obligatory to make hijrah from this country?
Our Shaykh Muhammad Nasir al-Din al-Albani, he was asked a similar question from someone from this country. And he answered, yes, it's compulsory for you to make hijrah from this land. And Allah knows best.
Alhamdulillah, I'm a practicing Muslim sister, although my husband does not pray and he is not concerned about halal and haram. I have tried to advise him, but to no avail. What should I do?
On the questions like these, it's difficult for myself to make a decision for everybody. And that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had taught us the dua of al-istakhara. And that we're going to be responsible for making decisions in our lives, and then to make the dua al-istakhara, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, and to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we have made our decision. A person has to weigh out what they their circumstances, and then try to make a decision that's best for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And this type of question, it comes often around the issues of marriage and divorce. How often does a lady remain with a man who's no good for her and she's happy? And sometimes a lady wants to be divorced from a man that's good for her. So the people, they make the decisions that they feel are best for them, and then they're responsible in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't make that decision for you. Because personally, if I was in your place, then I would make the decision that I feel is best for me. And you're in your place, and you should make the decision that's best for you. I think that all we can do is to encourage people to do what is correct and not to make the decision for them. As we would encourage the sister to advise her husband, to admonish her husband in a gentle, feminine way, to fear Allah, to repent to Allah, and to do what is compulsory upon him as a Muslim man. And then as the sister had mentioned the issue of leaving the salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best how far the man has actually gone, if he has left Islam or not. And if he leaves Islam by his statement, I'm not Muslim anymore, then it's the sister has no more choice except to leave him, because it's not permissible for her to be with a disbelieving man. But remember my statement, his leaving Islam with his statement, I'm not Muslim anymore. And this is how people leave Islam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
And this is related to the questions before, the question the Sheikh has just answered. It says, if hijrah is compulsory, where do you suggest that we go, and what countries are the best for Muslims?
This question is similar to the question before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam has commanded us and prohibited us. And now it's upon us to obey Allah and to obey His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. It's like the person says at the time of wudu, should I make it upstairs in the bathroom or should I make my wudu when I go to the masjid? A person has to decide for themselves exactly what they're going to do to obey Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All we can do is advise the people and command the people to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't necessarily have all of the detailed ways for the people to actually worship Allah, it's their responsibility to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as they are the ones who will stand barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised, drowning in their sweat, as they're going to take their account, either in their right hand or their left hand, behind their back, on a day when a person will run from his mother and his father and his wife and or husband and children, and that a person will only be concerned about their own souls. So a person should, in light of that, prepare for that day or that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing what he has been commanded to do. Now the issue of hijrah, as I don't want to leave it just blanket, as a blanket issue like that, it's an issue that takes a bigger discussion than the question that was just asked. And we had in the past discussed this in three talks, one of which was the mentioning of the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around the issue of hijrah, and then another talk about the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam around the issue of hijrah, and then the statements of the ulama past and present around the issue of hijrah. And maybe a person likes to refer to those types of tapes for the details around the issue of hijrah, as we're brief in our questions and answers here, as the time only permits that, and Allah knows best.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there, inshallah. It's coming up to 12 o'clock. Jazakallah khairan, and we'll resume at 2 o'clock, inshallah.
Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.